The ninth chapter of the book of Hebrews and verse number 27. And it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Every man that's lived on the face of this earth has kept that first appointment. Those that are alive today will keep that appointment one day. Those in the future, if Jesus tarries his coming, or as the God's plan for redeeming man develops in time, then all will die because of sin. And then all will stand in the judgment. Now, some will stand in a judgment seat of Christ, and some will stand in the white throne judgment. The crowning point of this age that we're living in is the coming of Jesus in the clouds of the air to receive the saved unto himself. He'll come and he will bring forth the dead. They'll rise first, and then those that are in Christ or that are saved will be caught up together. The Bible says in the accounts that Matthew gives that there will be one taken and the other left behind. The one taken will be the one that's repented and by faith trusted Christ as their Savior. The one left behind will be the one that's lost and doesn't know Jesus. They'll enter into the tribulation period on the earth. Jesus will take all the saved up into heaven or up into the air. I never had the unction to try to determine where he was going to do that judgment. Just says up in the air. And so it's either in heaven or it's somewhere up in the heavens or in the air, wherever that he's determined that it's going to be. It doesn't make any difference. The point of it is that it's going to take place, and it takes place while the tribulation period is going on down on the earth, while all the saved will face the Antichrist, Satan's Christ, who will bring destruction, and then Jesus will pour his wrath out upon the earth, the last part of that tribulation period, he himself, getting back at those who have cursed him and denied him and spurned him during this age. And then at the end of that tribulation period, there's going to come a judgment, which is the judgment of nations. Acts 17 and verse 31, it says, because he hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness, by that man whom he hath ordained, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, in that he hath raised him from the dead. He's appointed a day. He's appointed a day for the judgment seat of Christ. He's appointed a day for the judgment of nations. He's appointed a day for the white throne judgment. That's where all the unsaved will be judged according to their works. And so, at the end of the tribulation period, when Jesus shall come back to the earth, look at Matthew, the 25th chapter, beginning with verse number 31. Matthew 25 and verse number 31. The Bible says, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. Now again, this is the end of this tribulation period, the end of this age, known as the church age. The 7-year period that was promised to take place and transpire with the nation of Israel, in which things will get so bad that they will finally, in the midst of that tribulation period, turn to Christ and trust him as a savior, as a nation. And so at the end of that tribulation period, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Now, this is all of those that were saved during the tribulation period. That's the sheep nations. For I was a hungered, you gave me meat. Wait a minute, verse 34. Then the king say unto them, on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered, and fed thee, and thirsty, and gave thee drink? All right, when? We're talking about that time during the tribulation period, before the beginning of the millennial reign. We're talking about how that the people of God were going to be treated in the tribulation period. If you don't take the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell. And when one takes the mark of the beast, they're permanently lost, permanently given over, permanently taken in a reprobate mind. Those that have the mark of the beast, they're not going to treat God's people well. The Antichrist, who's going to rule the world in that time, he's not going to treat them well. And what are we talking about here? He's talking about the way those that were saved treated and helped those of God's people, those that were saved during that time. Now, these people here will have a heart for the Lord's people. And he says, they were thirsty, he gave them drink. When saw we thee, stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. All right. Talking about the treatment and how the individuals in the tribulation will treat those that turn to Christ. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Those that are lost, those that take the mark of the beast, they'll be cast into the lake of fire. Not in the hell that's in the center of the earth, but in the eternal hell. And they'll be tossed in, body, soul, and spirit. Okay? This lake of fire, this everlasting hell, wasn't created for man. Didn't intend man to go there, but was created for the devil and his angels. He says, For I was hungered, and you gave me no meat. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison, and you visited me not, then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily, verily, I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. All right. So, the time of the judgment of the nations is what we're talking about, what we're dealing with. They'll be judged for their treatment of God's chosen people during that time. And they will be judged according to the treatment that they gave them, whether it was well or not. Those that treated them well will be the sheep, and they will go into the millennial. Look at verse number 34. It says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." He prepared that kingdom for the servants who come out of that tribulation period, who did try to help and protect and take care of and help those that were saved, survived, and no doubt they will be saved as well. Because in order for them to do that and take the chances they do, they needed to have the Spirit of God in them and the compassion of God. The others, the goats, the unsaved, will be those who back the Antichrist, who treat people that are different cruelly. And so those will be those that are cast into the lake of fire or the everlasting place of torment. But these, he says, they'll inherit the kingdom as prepared for them from the foundation of the world. In other words, at the end of this judgment, he'll establish his thousand-year reign, his millennial kingdom, and they will go into that kingdom. They will bear children, and their children will have to come to the age of accountability and will have to repent of their sins and be saved during that millennial kingdom. And so these are the ones who are going in out of the tribulation period. In other words, they're those that are saved that survive from the wrath of God that's going to come upon the earth. Those who mistreated them will be cast into hell. Verse 31, "Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." You're talking about two kinds of people in the 7 years of tribulation. You're talking about those that are saved and have compassion and those that help one another to survive. And then you're talking about those who stand with the Antichrist and who try to destroy all of those who don't agree with them. We're living in a world today when we see vividly, and it's going on in the Middle East now. If you don't agree with me, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to blow you. I'm going to destroy you. That's going to be 10 times worse in this 7 years of tribulation. Who's going to go into that from now? Those who refuse to repent and trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because when Jesus comes, the clouds of the air, all the saved are going out of here. The unsaved are going to be left behind. And they're going to face this terrible time of tribulation period. Revelation, the 6th chapter, it says that because of how bad that wrath is going to come upon the earth, that men are going to flee into the mountains and pray that the rocks and stuff will fall on them and will kill them because of the miseries that they're having to suffer. And that's how bad that it's going to be. And so, at any rate, those who survive that that are saved are going to go into the millennial kingdom there. The time of, and then after that, the millennial kingdom is over, that thousand-year reign of Christ, there's the judgment, the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is a judgment for the lost. Look at Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11. Now remember, we're jumping over the millennial reign, the thousand-year reign, to the end, and we're going to the judgment seat of Christ, or not the judgment seat of Christ, but the white throne judgment. Revelation 20, in verse 11, "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead and which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. Now, there's a first resurrection, the resurrection of the saved. This is the second resurrection that we're talking about here. These that are in hell, those and so forth, there's going to be a resurrection of the lost. The difference between the resurrection of the saved is the saved are going to be resurrected to the glory of Christ. They're going to receive a glorified body, and they're going to spend eternity in the new heaven and new earth that God has prepared. But these here will come up with their old body, their old physical body. So they'll suffer in hell eternally, body, soul, and spirit. This is the second resurrection that the first part of this chapter talks about. The first resurrection is of the saved. The second resurrection is of the lost. And this is the judgment that takes place after those that are lost are resurrected. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The books. Verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened. Now these books are the 66 books of the Bible. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's the book. Your name's written down when you repent of your sins and by faith trust Christ as your Savior. That's the book that he told them over in the Gospels, that not to rejoice that they had power over demon spirits, but to rejoice because their names were written in the book of life. All right. Why were they there? To show those that have rejected Christ and wound up in this state eternally, that they had an opportunity to be saved if they would have just believed what was written in these books. Their name could be written in that book of life. And they've got the book of life there to show them that their name could have been written in the book of life, but they refused to repent and trust Jesus as their Savior. Look at John 12. Verse number 48, John chapter 12, and verse number 48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That's how we know what books there are. Those books are the 66 books of the Bible, which is exactly what this verse is referring to and talking about. Men will stand before the judgment. They'll be judged according to what's written in those books. A record is kept. The book of life. Look at Philippians 3, or rather 4, and verse 3. Philippians 4, verse 3, and I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my yoke fellows, whose names are written in the book of life. Those whose names were written in the book of life. Those that were saved by the grace of God. And when they were saved, their names were written down. Those that are saved here tonight, their names are written down in the book of life. Hopefully, our names will be written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is church membership and faithful service to God. Bridal relationship is exactly what it's talking about. Now, look at Malachi 3 and 16. There's another book that's there, and that's this book that we're going to read about. Malachi 3 and verse 16. Then they that feared the Lord spake unto one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. So the Lord keeps a record. He keeps a record of our lives and how that we live our lives and the things that we do. And we will stand and answer to that when we stand before him. If you're saved in the judgment seat of Christ, if you're lost at the white throne judgment, and they're not judged whether or not they're going to heaven or hell. They are judged to determine the degree of punishment that they're going to receive. That's the lost. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11. Begin with verse number 20. Then began he to upbraid cities wherein those of his mighty works were done, because they repented not. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, and unto thee, Bethsaida, for if mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shalt be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which have been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for those. Then Matthew 23 and verse number 14. Matthew 23, verse 14 says, Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. You know, I used to be bitter and resentful toward religion. But now I have compassion, because this tells me where they're going to stand. It's going to be more punishment for them in hell than it will be for just an average, ordinary sinner. Woe unto you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites! You devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. Greater punishment. So the judgment, the white throne judgment, is to determine the degree of punishment in hell. The judgment seat of Christ is to determine what kind of rewards that the saved are going to receive. The final state of the unsaved. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1, beginning with verse number 7. First Thessalonians chapter 1. No, how about 2 Thessalonians 1? And verse 7. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. That's when he comes back and puts an end to the tribulation period, judgment of nations, and then begins the millennial kingdom. In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. The need to prepare for judgment is now. Look at 1 John 5:22 and 23. John chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. All judgment given unto him, unto Jesus. Look at Philippians 2:9-11. All of those that spurn, all of those that reject, all of those that are not willing to really surrender and give over to Jesus Christ, to the saving of their soul. Look at Philippians 2, beginning with verse number 9. Philippians 2 and verse 9 says, Wherefore God also hath highly exalted himself and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in the earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, either we'll do that in this life, set aside everything, ourself and everything that we hold on to, and surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and lift our hearts up to him for the forgiveness and the cleansing that we need, because we are all sinners. And those that are lost, when they'll come and they'll do that, then the work that he did on the cross of Calvary, we're counting it as valuable. We're counting it as precious. We're counting it as to where that you can't put a value on it. The value is so great. But when we reject that, when we refuse, when we let our emotions or our feelings or anything else come in the way of us truly repenting and trusting Jesus, then we're going to face him one day and have to give an answer. And we'll be there because we have not counted the sacrifice and suffering that he did as worth the value that it really is. Eternity in heaven depends on trusting in Jesus. And that's how simple it is. Trusting, that's faith. Surrendering, that's knowing. That's acknowledging, that's accepting. And when one will do it with their heart, it's not hard, it's easy. You just got to get out of the way and let the Lord. Got to surrender. I've used Brother Green many times in his profession. He went to revival services, went home, couldn't sleep under conviction, prayed. Then he went in and got his mother, and she just told him, says, Son, you're going to have to work this out between you and God. Get out here and pray. So he got out and prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he asked, and he prayed, and he just kept on trying. And finally, he got to a point where he was just exhausted. And he said, Lord, either save me or kill me right now. And when he did, he surrendered. He let loose of everything, and the Lord saved him. Brother Mike Dixon, he gives the example. I went up and worked with him in the altar right over here, as a matter of fact. Or not, in the other building. I said, do you really believe that God can do what he said he'd do for you? And he said, oh, yeah, and he was saved right there. He gave up. He surrendered. He let go. Yeah, he let go. Second time I preached at this church, the whole church was members. I had the message for the church both times. preached the message Sunday morning, gave the invitation, couldn't figure out why I didn't preach that message. I preached a salvational message. Couldn't figure out why I couldn't preach the one I'd prepared. Sunday night, I had one prepared for the church. I preached on salvation. Gave the invitation. All of a sudden, this young man sitting in the back pew over there started bawling and crying. He said, "I'm not saved. I'm not saved." He was 16 years old. Went to the altar. Got down on his knees. And I went down to work with him. And I had him pray. And he just still was troubled. And I had him pray again. And still, the third time, finally, I was beginning to think, man, this young man's never going to get saved. What can I do? And so finally, I just pulled him up by his shoulder and I said, "How do you really feel about Jesus?" He says, "Oh, I love." And when he said, "I love," right then he gave up and was saved. It's that instant. It only takes that instance to totally surrender, to totally give up. And listen, as long as we try, it won't work. But when we get to a point where we can just give up, he'll save us. And then every time you turn around from then on, Satan's going to run you back to that time. But when you trust the Lord fully at that time, you can always go back there and say, "I know that's where the Lord saved me." Let's stand. What shall we sing, brother?
102.
You're here tonight and the Lord convicts your heart. Come to Jesus. Come, humble yourself before. Confess, willing to forsake. Trust. Believe with all of your heart. Trust in what he's done. Amen. If you're not, you can be ready instantly. If you're lost, when you're willing to